Yeah, drive through hypnosis. You don't even have to hit the brake.
It could be like an easy pass lane.
Got it. You ready?
Yep.
This is the Doers. This is the Doers Podcast.
Do it.
I love that you're doing that.
I do what I do.
Conversations with creators,
innovators,
and entrepreneurs from Lancaster and the Central Pennsylvania region.
These are the people who make Central PA a great place
to live, work, and play.
Start again.
I'm Jason Mundock. Today on the program, it's Justin Turpin. Justin is a hypnotist and founder of
Clear Change Hypnosis.
When one thinks of hypnosis, it's often the cartoonish caricature of a stage hypnotist that comes to mind. But Justin focuses on a kind of hypnotherapy.
Hypnosis is super powerful. I can help people to do the things they want to do, but you won't be doing things you don't want to do.
This hypnotherapy can help you break through the resistance or roadblocks that are preventing you from reaching your goals. Or it can give you the tools you need to stop undesirable behavior. It's all based on an understanding of how your mind actually works.
There's parts of your mind that you're aware of and parts of your mind that you're not so aware of.
A big part of Justin's passion for his work is simply helping people. His long-term goals include sharing all that he has learned and continues to learn about hypnosis and the mind and making it accessible to everyone regardless of circumstance.
I want to create kind of a school of thought. Teach people how their minds work, how emotions work, how beliefs and just being human.
And of course, we'll answer the question that everybody wants to ask their friendly neighborhood hypnotist.
Does the swinging watch really work?
Find out the answer coming up and go learn about all of the cool work Justin Turpin is doing in the world of hypnosis and hypnotherapy. He's online at clearchangehypnosis.com.
Cool, awesome. This is the Doers Podcast.
Brought to you by The Candy Factory.
Co-working in Lancaster.
Yeah, I help people to take back control of their lives. Oftentimes there are things that you're doing that you're not thinking about doing. It just kind of happens automatically. And that's the kind of area where I help people to do those automatic things in a better way.
Give me your, like, the list of services. What would I come to you for specifically?
So I guess to put it in the context, like, I am a hypnotist, so I help people with those automatic things that they do. So that might be smoking. Like at my office, I'll help people with smoking, weight loss, anxiety. Sometimes a young gymnast might come in because they were doing backflips just fine, and then they hurt themselves, and now they have this fear of really doing backflips, and so they don't do it, and so they need to, like, retrain their subconscious that it's safe, they can do it, they've done it before. So it's kind of removing that emotional scar or emotional imprint that's preventing them from doing the things that they've always been able to do.
Well, that's really interesting. I wouldn't have thought that. Like, so I gotta say, when somebody says hypnotist, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you think of sort of like a magician, right? Or sort of the exposure that you get maybe when you were a kid and the hypnotist came to the school and did, got people on stage and made them fall asleep. Help me through the distinction of that caricature and what you do as a professional hypnotist.
You kind of mentioned the word magic there. And there's a saying in the magic community that a magician isn't a magician. A magician is someone playing the role of a magician. And so often when somebody is, say, a stage hypnotist, they're playing the role of that stage hypnotist. And that's what gets presented. Like, I am in control. You are doing what I say. But really, it's a matter of context of the difference between stage hypnosis and, we'll call it, hypnotherapy.
Okay.
Using hypnosis for self-improvement. So that entertainer would come up on stage and say, hey, those of you who volunteer to come up here, you're going to be coming up and doing lots of fun and crazy things.
Right.
So those who do raise their hands are kind of entering into this tacit agreement that, hey, if I go up there, I'm going to be doing fun and crazy things. So the suggestions that the hypnotist is offering are those of wild and crazy things. But if, say, somebody was in my office and I was telling them, hey, congratulations, it's been a year since you've lost that 50 pounds and you're celebrating on the beach in a beautiful bikini and it's getting hotter and hotter and you just stand up and dump a bucket of water over your head, they would open their eyes and be like, Justin, what, you're crazy. Like, what are you doing here?
You're absolutely.
Because it's not within the context of what we had agreed on.
Yeah, that's really interesting because I was always afraid of those guys who would, do that because I was afraid of what I would end up doing in front of people.
What might I do? Right. So hypnosis is super powerful. I can help people to do the things they want to do. but you won't be doing things you don't want to do. For example, we'll go with stage hypnosis just because that's where most people might have some experience or having seen a show.
Sure.
Let's say one of the skits on a stage hypnosis show is, hey, we're going to do some silly dancing. For some people, the dancing comes out easily, even though you know them consciously as not much of a dancer.
Sure.
But there are those who, maybe a woman from the Middle East who it's kind of against her religion to dance. There's nothing that I could say or do as a hypnotist to get that person to dance because at a core identity level, like it's not okay for her to dance.
Okay.
So that person's going to kind of step out of the trance or step out of the suggestibility and they're not going to dance.
So, okay. That makes sense. So there's some direction in those stage hypnosis ideas that are, you know, common.
Right. Just like with anything, it's kind of like Groundhog's Day, where the first time Bill Murray and that he does things and he messes it all up. And then after he does that day over and over and over again, he knows what to expect. And same thing with whether you're a comedian, they're telling the same jokes over and over and over again. When you hear it on their HBO special,
right?
That's like the 500th time they've told that joke. It is refined. The timing is down. Same thing with the stage hypnotist. Those are generally time-tested.
Gotcha.
Activities.
I know I'm kind of taking you down this path of stage. Like, I don't know.
It's not even what I do, but that's cool. It gives some context.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's where people are going to come first, right? Is that sort of cartoonish caricature of what a hypnotist is. So let's shift over to this hypnotherapy.
Sure.
Or this idea of using hypnosis to help people improve themselves. Could you describe a session? So if I came to you, say I wanted to quit smoking and I heard that hypnosis might be the way, I call you up, I come in, what's that look like? That exchange.
So generally hypnosis sessions are broken into two parts. In that first part, we'll talk and we'll discuss what is happening now. What do you want to do? Or what do you want to happen automatically moving forward?
Mm-hmm.
And then I might teach stuff that they can do consciously to create subconscious results. Like here's, you do this mental process, you get this mental result. Just like you do with anything. If you watch somebody who trades in the stock market and you ask them to walk you through what was your decision process, they have a mental process that they follow to create that result. After they've done that a bunch of times, it just starts to happen automatically without them consciously thinking about it. So I will teach them, here's a mental process you can do. I call it a mind tool that you can do to stop that physical component of stress. Or if you notice that you're having a craving, here's a process you can do to stop that craving or change your thought process so mm-hmm. that it's no longer automatically defeating thoughts coming up. It's now more supportive thoughts.
So it sounds like you're creating muscle memory.
You're building neurology. You're already doing that anyway. For example, when you first learned how to drive a car, it took all of your conscious effort. It was an entirely conscious activity and it was overwhelming. You were like, mom, dad, like, quiet. I'm trying to figure this out. I've got to concentrate.
Right.
But the more that you started to drive, the more you started building neurology deeper back in your brain to automate that driving.
Right.
So now you can drive a car without thinking about it and you find yourself at home and you're like, well, how did that happen?
You don't even remember the trip. Yeah.
Because you've built neurology, that what you quote unquote muscle memory, or like in the military, when they say like the training just kicked in, that's right. What we're doing is building it, just building the neurology that's going to help them towards what they want rather than continuing to reinforce the neurology that's getting the results that they've gotten so far.
So your brain is actually building that neurology naturally.
Yes. Just as a matter of being alive and pulling information in through your nervous system, it's doing that.
If I'm understanding correctly, then this idea of hypnosis is really about intentionally building that neurology to get results that are desired versus letting your brain just sort of naturally take over.
Yeah. So you could let it form naturally and you might get whatever result like you're,
you might. Yeah. You
know, whatever. For some people, if they say they have an alcoholic parent, for them, that's every reason why they're going to be an alcoholic when they grow up. And for some people, that's every reason why they're not going to be an alcoholic. It really, you could leave that up to fate or you could leave that up to like choice. Like you could choose that.
How does this work? What is the mechanics, I guess, of the brain in this case?
Here's a metaphor. There's parts of your mind that you're aware of and parts of your mind that you're not so aware of. You've probably heard the terms conscious and subconscious and unconscious.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it leads to that natural question of just, well, how many consciousnesses do we have?
Right.
Like, we really just have one mind. And I like to think of the mind as a ship, maybe a Mayflower or a pirate ship.
Okay.
And if you were, say, the captain of the ship and you're up in the crow's nest looking down upon the deck, everything that would happen above deck, you'd be aware of. It would be within your conscious awareness. So you can kind of think of everything above deck, including your captain, as part of your conscious mind. Now, your captain's in charge of the ship. He's the one who plots the course, sets the destination, says, like, hey, we're going to, like, Feel Enough Island, for example. But he's not necessarily the one who does all the work.
Right.
That's generally done by the crew. So you can imagine below deck, outside of your conscious awareness, there's hundreds or thousands of little crew members, and each one has their very own specific job. And it's the interaction of all those crew members that do their job that creates that effortless movement of the ship. So you can think of it like you have neurology for blinking your eyes before dust gets into them. You have neurology for turning the turn signal in your car.
Sure.
Like, you don't have to think about these things. You have crew members that do that for you. So one of the challenges is that most people's crew are mutinying. When somebody's captain is saying, hey, I want to go to Six Figure Island, for example, their crew might be mutinying, saying, hey, we don't believe we can make it to Six Figure Island.
Right. This is crazy. It's a suicide mission.
A suicide mission. We never made it there before. Nobody's done it. Or if we were to make it there, we're not going to have what it takes to stay there.
Got it.
Or if we were to make it there and stay there, we're not going to have our needs met. We're going to have to work 80 hours, 90 hours a week, and we don't want that. So the crew isn't going there. They're not doing what the captain is saying.
I see. So there's a resistance on below deck.
Yeah.
Conspiracy almost. You're like, this isn't going to work. It's going to fail. And I'm very familiar with that.
And idea. Most people, it's that resistance. Like, if you think of it as your potential is like through the roof, but the only reason you're not reaching your potential is because of that resistance. Where you're at now is like potential minus resistance is your current state. So what we can do with hypnosis is open up that communication between the captain and the crew. So when the captain says, this is where we're going, Six Figure Island, the crew is all on board. It works both ways, so that when your crew has a need, maybe they need some excitement, or maybe they need to eat or sleep, that the captain will hear that and adjust course to meet those needs.
I see. So when that communication is flowing, when the crew and the captain are communicating, both parties are getting more of what they actually want,
right?
Desire.
And a lot of people struggle, not because they don't have the potential, but because they don't know how to communicate to their crew.
Yeah.
They've become passive captains rather than active captains. If you think about it, like, if you were a crew member and the captain was like kind of just not paying attention, you're going to mess around. You're not going to work as hard as you could.
Absolutely. How much of this work is about stopping or not doing something that you don't want to do versus achieving or moving towards something you want?
It depends on who's coming to you. So, like, for my office, most of the time I'm seeing, we'll say, ordinary people with ordinary problems. But when I do my like entrepreneurial work, there's something they want to do and they're not doing it.
There's something that's blocking them.
Usually the pain for them is that block, that resistance.
I see. So it's not a behavior that they don't want anymore. It's a behavior that they do want that they're not able to get to.
Usually that's what they're seeing. Mm-hmm. is they'll call and say, hey, I want to do this, but I'm not doing it. And that might be a matter of like, well, I'm scrolling through Reddit instead of sitting down and working on the thing I need to work on.
Is that a growing problem? Like social media, phones, technology, that sort of thing? Is that something you're seeing in your work?
Being as your crew is not necessarily in charge, your captain's in charge, but your crew is the one like leading things. Yes, that distraction, if you think of distraction as anything that's taking you away from your goal, yeah, that's growing and it's huge. Because we have been training our minds every time that we hear a little notification or our pocket vibrates and we pull out our phone, we are training ourselves to respond and put our attention onto that device that's calling our attention.
Yeah.
So whenever there's a little red counter that says, oh, you have one unread message, we've been training our crew to pay attention to that. Oh, here's a pop-up, pay our attention to that. And so We have everything we need. We just haven't been training ourselves to focus. We've been training ourselves instead to follow those distractions that are taking us away.
This is the Doers Podcast.
Visit us online at coworkinginlancaster.com.
Home of the Candy Factory, a co-working space in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
I'm curious to know if this is the kind of work that you intentionally got into, like you were sitting around high school, college, said, I'm going to be a hypnotist, was there a different path to get here?
I went to school to be a science teacher. I had no intentions of doing hypnosis. So I was very logical and like, if you couldn't measure it, it doesn't exist.
Right.
So I went to school to be a science teacher, and I found that first year that I would be doing my like teaching, I'd have to create lesson plans, grade papers, stay after and do the teaching. And I was going to have my second son. So having a 2-year-old, a newborn, and then kind of 3 jobs, which is what teaching turns into, I was like, I'm going to drop the ball somewhere. So I'm just going to defer for a year, wait till the little one's in like daycare.
Right.
And then go back into teaching. In the meantime, though, I came across, like, while I had my little guy like on my chest at night, I would scroll and see like, what can I do in the meantime? And I got into learning about internet marketing and starting a business online. And then I joined an entrepreneurial community to learn how to build SaaS, like software as a service.
Got it.
And I initially reached out to the towing industry because I figured they'd have lots of logistical issues that could be solved with software. But after talking with them, I didn't want to take them out to lunch for the next 5 years. It's like their mindset is not like where I want to spend my time. So I kind of flipped the script and thought like, who would have an amazing mindset that I would want to spend time with?
Sure.
And it turned out like coaching was growing then. So I was like, all right, let's see what kind of software coaches need. And after talking with them, it turned out they didn't really need software. They needed clients. They needed to learn how to market. So I went down to some coaches that lived right down the street from me, called them up, said, hey, can I hang out with you guys for a day? They said, sure. So I took the day off of work on my birthday and hung out with them, and they turned out to be hypnotists, and I like fell in love with what they did. So
wait. So you just so happened to be neighbors with a couple of hypnotists that you just so happened to call up and were like, I want to go hang out with you because you're coaches.
And oh yeah.
What kind of coach? Like, were they business coaches?
Mostly business coaches. Yeah.
That's crazy. Hey, they just so happened to be hypnotists.
And they happened to be hypnotists. And they happened to be able to certify people. So, like, I was just in the right place at the right time. And so they were like, hey, we're having a training coming up soon. Would you be interested? I'm like, hell yeah. So I signed up, went through the training, and I took everything that I was learning back to my entrepreneurial community. Because I was seeing that entrepreneurs try the most, they fail the most, they need the most support.
Sure.
There's a lot of belief structures that you have going through school that don't support you when you're running your own business and you're trying things and saying like, yeah, I'll accept money for this now and I'll create it and then like give it to you in 3 months. Like, there's lots of just different perspectives you need to have about yourself, about money, about your worth and creating value that don't come naturally.
Right.
So you could either brute force that and fail a lot, or you could use some hypnosis to create those changes.
Wow. So you go take this training and you take that knowledge, you go back to this group of entrepreneurs that you've been hanging around with. What was that like? Were they like, you're crazy, or we love it, or, you know, what was the reaction?
Oh my God, they loved it. I started by just helping a few people. They would say I'm procrastinating, or, you know, I'm not very present when I'm at home. I'm thinking about work. And then when I'm at work, I'm thinking about my kids and how I like wasn't present. And I just started helping people with little things. And it started to create this echo chamber as I'd help one person, they'd go back to the community and share like, my God, like this stuff works. And then the next person would kind of reach out and say, hey, can you help me? And it kept getting like louder and louder in the community. So then what I did is I put out a post and said, hey, I'll help as many people as I can over the next 2 weeks. So I was basically just going to kind of sacrifice those 2 weeks to help people. And those 2 weeks filled up in less than a day.
I mean, was this pro bono work? Were you just like, whoever wants it?
It was going to be pro bono, yes.
Okay.
And then I started to learn how to monetize it as I was seeing like this is going to consume me. So then I extended it for another 2 weeks, and it turned out to be like 6 weeks total of just back-to-back phone calls, Skype sessions, and coaching people. I did offer stuff for free, but I also learned to put out a little offer like, hey, for $35, we can do this other thing in these other time periods. Or if you want to pay my full session rate, we'll work on whatever you want.
Right.
And so I started to use that as lead gen while still providing stuff like a value for free. And it went really well. And I was like, wow, this is not only am I onto something, I can get paid well to do it. And I'm making a difference in people's lives.
Sure.
And so it kind of grew from there.
And this has to scratch your science itch.
Yes. And I was learning more and more about where people are and how they think and feel and what's creating, like, why we do almost anything we do.
Sure, sure.
So yes, it definitely helps me to understand reality, whatever that is.
This is the Doers Podcast, conversations with
creators, innovators, and entrepreneurs
from all around Central Pennsylvania.
I'm Jason Mundock, talking today with hypnotist Justin Turpin. Justin is the founder of Clear Change Hypnosis, where you can learn to take back control of your habits, thoughts, and emotions.
Can you give me an example of the impact that this work has had on somebody that was maybe surprising to you?
It can go one of two ways. Either the person knows immediately, like, this has been life-changing, or they just go about their business, and then 2 months, 3 months, 3 years go by, and they are in a totally different playing field than they were before, and they don't even, like, remember the session. So it's interesting to see, like, where's somebody going to lie? So, like, with entrepreneurial type stuff, I had a client over Skype. We were working on procrastination. Uh-huh. She was working on creating, like, this little book or a journal, and she was procrastinating getting her Kickstarter program launched. Worked on it for weeks and weeks and weeks, but just never launched it. We did a session. She launched it. It turned into a huge success. She started helping other people launch their Kickstarters based on her success. And she co-founded a company. It's now like a 7-figure company. She is living her life. She's moved. She's like, her whole life is entirely different. If you think of that as that one domino that kind of made all the difference, then like, that's amazing. But I can't take all the credit for it, because really, like, that potential was there within her.
Absolutely. You opened the door. You helped her see a different perspective, right?
Right. We just kind of got the resistance out of the way, almost like you pull out that little linchpin, and then the resistance just collapses, and she was able to fulfill more of her potential. So,
what kind of impact has this line of work had on you?
Ooh, so I am probably my biggest, like, testimonial. I grew up feeling not enough. I felt like if I were to build a rocket ship myself, source the metal, the fuel, did the math, and flew to the moon and came back without outside help, even that wouldn't be enough to, like, make me enough. And then when I had my kids and learning that they're going to model everything that I do,
sure.
they're going to adopt, like, just as a part of growing up, like, my beliefs, I really set myself into learning the best ways to improve myself and how I see the world. And I now feel enough. It doesn't feel as though I need to do anything to prove that I'm valuable. Sometimes some of those old habits still kind of kick in, but
sure.
They're coming from a place that is, I know I'm valuable. I know I can offer value, as opposed to, like, hey, look how valuable I am. Love me.
right.
So it's
your actions really speak for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's true. Children will model themselves after how you behave. I mean, no matter what you say, your actions speak so much louder. Where does it go from here?
So moving forward, one of my past clients was looking for an app and couldn't find one. So he reached out to have some custom hypnosis audios created. He was an entrepreneur, high achiever, and we're now creating like an app for athletes that will be coming out in 2020. I want to get back more into working with entrepreneurs and high achievers, so I'm going to build out a personal brand to continue doing that. But my ultimate goal, like, hopefully before I'm 70, ideally, like, maybe in the next 10 years while my kids are still in school, is I want to create kind of a school of thought. Teach people how their minds work, how emotions work, how beliefs and just being a human. All the stuff that I've kind of learned, that why didn't we learn this stuff growing up? Put that together. I want to teach it to high achievers, entrepreneurs, like, make some money doing that to take care of myself and my family. But then really, I want to repurpose that for, like, middle school kids and give it away for free. Like, it shouldn't matter if you're poor, if your family is poor, if your country is poor. It shouldn't matter like where you came from. You should have this understanding on how your thoughts are formed, how to change your thought processes, how to remove the emotional charge from an experience. There's a lot of depression and suicide and like bad stuff happening in like middle school, high school, because kids don't know how to process through emotions. They have this device in their pocket that's like, it's omnipresent. It's all knowing. It's always there. Like, it's powerful stuff, but we never learn how to use our minds to like filter the information coming in. Or
so true.
What are we going to do when we see an image we don't want to see? How are we going to remove that emotional charge so it doesn't affect us anymore? Or some of the bullying or part of growing up. So I want to teach people how to manage their thoughts, their emotions. And really, it's our purpose in life tends to be derived from the challenge that we've gone through. And if I could help people to manage that challenge more easily and maybe with either a process or some guidance, they can find that purpose and they can build themselves up to become the person they need to be to fulfill that purpose in the world. So that's kind of what I want to create and give that away. That's how I could see the world being a better place. That's how I could see like my role in that.
Sure.
But
that's good work, because that's fundamental stuff. That is fundamental stuff that you're right. We just don't explore, especially as young people. Maybe when you're older and you get into some self-improvement stuff, you start to crack the case a little bit. But imagine if that age, and I'm sure you have, in this developmental age, we're able to tap into that understanding then and maybe bypass all of the roadblocks that would have been presented to them. That's great.
Yeah, that's kind of as grown-ups or adults, it tends to be our job is now unlearning a lot of the baggage right. that we learned. If we could start that a little sooner, maybe some of that baggage wouldn't have developed, or we'd just be more emotionally healthy.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you taking a few minutes to chat with me about this. Really fascinating stuff. And one last question I have to ask, does the swinging watch really work?
It does work. Anything where you're placing your focus on something, you can use that as an induction.
Good to know. Thank you. Thanks, Justin.
Thank you.
The Doers Podcast is produced by Jason Mundock at The Candy Factory,
a co-working space located in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Find links and show notes for this podcast and all of our episodes online
at The Candy Factory website,
coworkinginlancaster.com.
Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts.
And keep on doing.
Keep on doing.
Keep on doing.
What you love to do.
This is going to be such a success.
Hey friends, Jason Mundock here. All of the voices in our intro and outro are actually Candy Factory members.
Wait, what?
It's a great community, and yes, we have a good time because frankly, work doesn't have to suck. And we all know that working alone does suck. So if you're a freelancer, entrepreneur, remote worker, or even a student here in Central PA, check out coworkinginlancaster.com and consider joining us at the Candy Factory, an awesome co-working space in Lancaster. Starting at just $50 a month.
Oh, yeah.
That's for a community membership. You can meet other doers in a super creative and collaborative space, tap into business resources to help you get your job done efficiently, and learn all kinds of new and inspiring stuff through our network of really smart people, i.e. our members and guests. We even have a podcast club for members who want to make their own.
Wink, wink.
There's a membership level for everyone, so don't hesitate. Check it all out at coworkinginlancaster.com. Do it.
Do it.